Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. I am one of your hosts. My name is Levi. And with me is my handsome co-host, Mr. Hassan.
Thank you. I'll take handsome.
And my beautiful co-host, Miss Ram.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. How have you been? We are going to be talking about we're going to be trying to squeeze a whole year of podcasting, essentially, into one episode. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the show Room 101. I thought it'd be fun today if we spoke about the things over the years that, how many months have we been absent? 8 months? 6 months?
About seven.
Seven. Wow, I really just skipped the golden number there, didn't I?
I mean, honestly.
Oh, God. I hit my knee today. I think I'm concussed. Is that how that works? I'll take that as a no. We're going to pick all the things that we would have probably done an episode about and kind of go through our favourites and our least favourites. Yeah, I guess that's literally the aim of the game. I was going to explain it a bit more, but I feel like it's a bit self-explanatory. We will try and keep it in a sort of time limit basis. I don't know what our time limit is. We'll decide that. And we'll kind of pitch to the other two, essentially, what has been the best thing in our absence and what has been the worst. We'll do it like that. That sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Great. All right. There's a lot of things that I'm just thinking about just now. Things are flooding into my head. But we move. So do you know what? I guess we'll start with things that we like.
Should we start with bad? Because, let's not end on, a sour note, maybe.
What do you mean? All right, cool. We can do that. We start with bad. I feel like there's something you're waiting to go off on. Yeah, Hassan, I guess you can really take the floor with this one.
Sure. I think the thing you guys are going to you're going to get it, but you're also going to be annoyed at me. The thing that I've hated the most, is catching up on Attack on Titan.
Oh.
I hate it so much.
I'm kind of upset because I'm kind of...
I'm still not up to date because, I'm dragging my feet and, that's... I have to apologize. It's just... There's a lot for me to, work through because it's just, the characters are incredibly, either, nothing characters or they're, incredibly unlikable, except for, the potato girl. She's cool.
She's okay.
Compared to everyone else, she's the only, seemingly human being,
No comment. That's a very particular one, I can't lie. But yeah, you're raising that one, that's fine. I can understand that. I have a similar thing with had a similar thing with One Piece, to be fair, catching up with that, but I overcame such things, so I don't know.
Might kill me because I dropped One Piece last year as well. I was I can't anymore. I can't do it.
now I'm very, I could have let the Attack on Titan thing slide, but now I'm very disappointed. You have to persevere for Luffy and the Straw Hat crew.
I might need another year to emotionally get the strength to go back. But right now, I don't think I could do it.
The manga is a bit of it's hard to look at. There's a lot going on, especially on the phone screen. But yes, Ram, what are you raising?
I don't really have one, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know that I really have a bad thing from last year. I think I tried to be positive, so I genuinely cannot think of it. I guess I had a similar thing of you, Hassan, of Attack on Titan was a bit of a struggle, but I think where I am now, because I also had the same thing where I didn't quite finish season 5 part 1 because I just hated everybody and I was like, am I that intrigued by the history of the show to want to carry on when I don't like any of these characters and I don't root for any of them? But I feel like it redeemed itself, so I don't know that I could put it in my bad category. Also, 2021 just feels like it was so far, like, long ago. Yeah, I genuinely can't think of anything that I hated. I think there's more stuff that was, like, middling for me. And, okay, something that I thought was middling for me was The Harder They Fall. And I went to the, like, premiere screening of that. So I thought, and this is, like, really left field, but I'm just going to say, like, I just felt that, like, it was just very style over substance. And I wish that there was more to the story. But I also feel conflicted because, you know, I think that sometimes we don't need to expect Black creators to create a piece of work that is always 100% like perfect and amazing and any of that stuff. But at the same time, I think that what was frustrating with that one was that there were like loads of strings of stuff that I was like, this could be good, but it like maybe if it just had a few more rewrites it would be like really great. So I think, yeah, I'll say that it wasn't terrible, I wish it did more.
That's fair.
I hear that. I mean, the worst thing is sometimes mediocre things are worse than bad things, aren't they?
Yeah, because like bad, you can latch on to the things that annoyed you or like just like laugh at how ridiculously bad something is. When something is like boring, there's nothing you can do with that. And that's like incredibly frustrating.
I hear that. Okay, Ram. I guess it's my turn. And I kind of the same way, you know, I have an answer I can give you, and I have another fake answer, and that is going to be capitalism, and that's just because there was a game drought for how long, and because of fiscal years ending, we ended up with how many games coming out in the last month or so, trying to squeeze them out before April. You know, it's upsetting. Now I haven't got any time. Now I've got a backlog from nowhere. What's that about? Sorry. it sucks the way money governs the literal way things work. But yeah, sorry. A more feasible answer, I would say, is the Eternals film.
Oh my god, why did I not say that? What the hell? That's how you knew it was really bad. I just deleted it from my mind.
I'm not gonna lie, I totally deleted it from my mind as well.
I changed my mind.
I didn't hate it. Like, I want to say that I didn't hate it, but like...
I just felt nothing, which is why I didn't bring it up and I forgot about it because...
it was a big nothing burger. And for the amount of acting talent that was there and source material to pull from, it was a nothing burger. That is literally the best way to describe that film. Like, you know, my man flying into the sun. That was the only time I felt anything, and that was humor.
I just think it was very misplaced. They just didn't need to bring the Eternals in. I don't think anything they would have done would have just made us care about those characters, especially because their impact and that the concept of them even existing is just so big. It's like, how do you even fit that into the show properly? Or like at least just make them not based on Earth, then I guess that would make a bit more sense, possibly. I don't know. Like, they have no impact, and I don't see what impact they're gonna have in the future. It's just it went straight in my ear, and it didn't even stay there that long. So and then just went out. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was. I feel like they were trying to insert them into the MCU before actually like giving us like an actual story, if that makes sense.
It felt like a DC movie more than it felt like a Marvel movie. Do you know what I mean? In the way that it kind of presented itself and the way that it like dealt with character development and like even the way this story was kind of put together, it felt like exposition, slam, 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 slam. Don't worry about being interested in the character. Here's a fight. Yeah, it's a monster. don't question it. Like, it was just there's pieces there. Like, there's definitely interesting source material that they can work with. It's just like they needed to let it breathe. Is the only issue I had with them.
I mean, it's funny. You
it was so long.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, it's funny you mentioned there being pieces. There were, but there was. You could definitely see the missing pieces anyway. Like, you could see the holes.
Yeah, I changed.
Ryan Tyree Henry was the best part of that film.
Yeah, he was.
I just want to I want to note that for once, I'm not the angry person in the call.
I'm not angry either. I'm just like, really.
Do you know what? Animated.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Elden Ring, yeah, but I've literally given up playing other games this year because of the way these games have come out. There's too many. It's like being crushed under the rubble and then you just accept it. You're no longer holding up your weight. You're just letting it crush you. That's how I feel.
This is life now.
This is life. But yeah, I mean, guys, so Hassan, you can't vote for your own, obviously. What are you putting in?
I'm voting for Eternals.
What do we call it? Like, the sin bin.
For the sin bin, honestly, Eternals. How do you have like that much talent? Like wow. the scope of the Eternals' characters and what do we get with it? No, that's going in the sin bin because like that's criminal. Frankly,
Miss Ram.
Yeah, obviously Eternals. What the hell? I feel like everything. The Heart of the Fall was like enjoyable enough. I just wanted more from it. The Eternals, I just felt like I lost 2 hours of my life that I could have spent doing something else. So,
well, I mean, I was gonna vote for Hassan's catching up with Attack on Titan for the more general thing of catching up on things, but you know, it doesn't matter because I won anyway, so yeah. Shall we do another negative one?
I don't have negative ones though.
We could do more mediocre. Like, there's a lot of mediocre that like, happened last year.
Yeah, let's go. Let's throw another one in there. I'm going to say, let's say Cowboy Bebop.
Because Cowboy Bebop was bad. That was bad. Yeah. That wasn't mediocre. That was how did I forget about Cowboy Bebop?
I didn't even finish it, and I don't intend to.
What? You were enjoying it. You said you were enjoying
it. I was, but then look where we are. Look where we are. I wasn't enjoying it enough.
Clearly.
I'm flabbergasted by like the gore for that blackmail line. That some adult wrote that down and said, I made a good joke. How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, what blackmail line? I can't even remember. I cannot even remember.
There's a character that's like white old lady, and she's like,
it's ringing a bell, but carry on.
Where they're like, are you blackmailing me? And she's like, but you're black male.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, off. Yeah.
Actually, how dare you? Like, I can forgive like the Spy Kids like growing up villain. I can forgive that. This, no. Like,
well, do you know what? We watched the Jujutsu Kaisen film. Sorry, Ram, you know I'm gonna bring it up. We watched the Jujutsu Kaisen film and there was the one black character, he had like a cursed whip. His weapon was a whip, it was like a slave whip. It was kind of interesting.
Oof.
But I mean, I have to bring out a picture, but it looked pretty slave-like.
I didn't really have anything to say. I read it and I feel like I remember being like but then I just don't think I ever thought about it again until we watched it, and then I was like
I've been like trapped inside since August, and like, you know, I'm glad I haven't seen this.
Maybe I'm just reaching. You know me, I'm like, told you, the militant black guy. But it was just like, I was like, whoa, he has a whip. Okay. And then what was it? Goju said, yeah, let me just do it as a foreigner. I was like, whoa, Goju. Whoa, relax, dude.
It's like, bro, please.
Who is
bro, please.
Damn, man. This is a bit. Full on today, aren't we, Goju?
Why do you say Goju?
Goju, go, oh, how was his
Gojo.
Name? Gojo. Sorry.
No, he's Goju now from now on. In this podcast, in this house, yeah. He's Goju.
Straight disrespecting.
I guess
my favorite part is when this goes out, there's going to be so many like very angry Jujutsu Kaisen fans. Like,
yeah, that's fine.
Not even like talking about like the whole slavery.
Come at me, bros. No, please don't. I'm soft.
He might have sealed the one black man, but he said Gojo.
But yeah, that's one thing I'm going to chuck in.
Okay, mine is not based around the actual film. So people who love Demon Slayer, please leave me alone. Ooh. But Demon Slayer, Mugen Train, and we got to the end of the film, and you know there was a very tragic death. And, you know, I'm not knocking it. It's sad when people die, even though we only knew him for like 1.5 hours. But, you know, it's sad. And some girl next to us was like crying. And, I'm emotional. I cry at everything. I cried today. Like, you know, like whatever. But this girl was sobbing. Like, and that just really annoyed me. And therefore, I had emotions towards that film because she was crying like she was at a funeral. And I just, like, and look, I am the biggest fangirl of something ever. Like, you know, I used to know the whole Twilight movie off by heart. I'm not against fangirling, but how can you cry like that? How can you possess it within you? So again, it's not because of the movie, but because of that I have bad associations. So I'm not saying it was my bad movie or average movie, but that was my bad moment last year. Thanks.
That sounds like a fandom problem, but then she might have been just empathetic.
I'm empathetic. I do not.
hey. We can't gatekeep emotions.
That was ridiculous. You didn't even know him for that long.
I mean, to be fair, you get to know him better in the manga. Like, I assume that they're fans of the manga.
I mean, do you guys think Demon Slayer is like a goat? Like, no. Really? Is it? Because I like it. I'm good, but just, well, I was kind of watching it when this season was going. I feel like I was only a few episodes behind. And I just feel like when Ram was watching it, people were talking about how great this season was. Like, again, it's just another banger. And I was just watching it and I was like, I mean, I'm entertained, but like.
Yeah, we're two episodes back. How much trouble do you want to get in? Because like, we can get into this.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy, aren't I? Well,
no, I'm kind of with you.
Like, I can be the villain. This will be my origin story.
I think that I enjoy looking at Demon Slayer a lot and I like the characters and I enjoy them, but it's not like I wouldn't buy the manga and I wouldn't revisit it that often.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm showing my age.
It's very good at like, the spectacle. Like, Demon Slayer is phenomenal at the spectacle. And like the inter-character moments, but there's the substance of the show is very derivative of like a lot of other things. Like, there's no story beat in this that is unique. There's no story beat in this that is like surprising or reinventing the wheel. Even it's very good middling. You know what I mean? Like,
it's entertaining. I feel like that's the word when it's just like, yeah, like you said, it's a spectacle, and it's competent. Like, it's not like watching rubbish, but it looks nice if you get what I mean. Plot lines and things like that, you know. Do you know, I just realized My Hero had a whole season last year, didn't it?
We don't talk about that show here.
It's weird, right? I've got something else, but I don't want to stop.
Can I say one quick thing?
Yeah, go on.
Because like other shows on Twitter have said to me like, why are you so mean to poor crying protagonist? I'm like, in fairness, I've read some of the newer manga and he has cried less.
I've read some of the newer manga and I don't feel any differently. I don't care.
No. I'm just saying he's cried less and like, that's cool.
Yeah, but he's gone from crying less to being just like OP and just like kind of a little bit broody, but not really. Like, I just, okay. I don't know. That's
Puberty does that to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with him, but I do have a problem with him, so. I don't want. Have you guys got anything else? Because I feel like I'm gonna just start throwing loads of things, and old man Levi is gonna come out all of a sudden. And then, yeah.
Girl crying too much.
No, that's it. Like I want to go back and retroactively put Cowboy Bebop in the bin. Like that's what I want to do.
Okay, then Cowboy Bebop. I feel kind of bad though. But we're putting it in anyway.
Because you were like, I am really enjoying this. And now look at what you've done.
Do you know how many things I've watched since Cowboy Bebop came out? And I'm just like, oh, bloody Moon Knight's coming out soon. I'll start watching that. Halo's coming out. Oh, yeah, Halo's coming out.
Did you see what they did to Cortana?
Hey, man. Sometimes we've got to make adjustments for the big screen, man.
No, it's fair. It's fair. Like, I'm just like... I just want to watch it. Like, I'm really excited to actually watch it.
I'm curious, I'm going to say. I guess we should move on to good things, because I feel like we are quite positive, as grumpy as we can be. And there was a lot of things that I would have loved to have spoken about.
But there was so much good stuff last year.
We'll pitch them against each other. should we pick... Let's categorize this one,
yes,
I guess.
Please.
What should we start with? Is there anything you guys prefer?
I think start with films, because we've already touched on it, and then we'll move into
that. Films. Can we just bring that all up to modern day so I can just say Batman?
No.
In this respect, I'm at a distinct disadvantage because, like, I can't go outside.
I'm joking. I just wanted to insert that in. I don't even know if I like Batman that much. I'd have to see it again. All right. Let's start with films. Ram.
Does films include TV?
Was it a film?
No, it was a TV show.
We can do TV shows after.
Okay, films. I guess. Okay, so I feel like obviously I'm going to say Spider-Man No Way Home. I feel like it wasn't 100% perfect. But I just, you know, I'm obsessed with the 96ers, and there's a lot of them in that film, and I just, it was like a fun time. Like, sometimes you just like going to the cinema and just having a good time, feeling pumped, and I feel like it didn't quite capture the same kind of, like, almost euphoria of, like, Endgame, where we were, like, I don't know, there was a lot of, like, fan service and stuff going on, but I think that it did kind of... I don't think anything will ever do that again, to be honest, within the MCU. I think that's kind of the peak, but I do feel like Spider-Man No Way Home did kind of capture that, and obviously he's a lot of people's favourite character, and you can see why in this film, and it was nice to see, like, the darker side of him as well, and to get to revisit all of those villains, even though they, like, marketed it too much, and there were too many leaks, and I knew too much before I went to go see the film. It was really great to still
That's how Disney does.
Yeah. It was still great to, like, get all of those, like, villains that we loved from all the series, and all the previous Spider-Man too. So, like, I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I did really enjoy the film for the most part. And, Willem Dafoe was sick as always.
He's always good, like, in everything. Shout out, Willem. Levi, do you want to go?
Who me? Oh god, I can barely remember the films I watched. I literally can only remember Batman. Oh, actually, I hate to keep it on not only superheroes, but jump over to the DC. I'm gonna throw in Suicide Squad, because I really enjoyed Suicide Squad. I feel like, yeah, when me and Ron went to see it, I was just, like, thoroughly entertained throughout the film. I loved Idris Elba. I'm glad that they kept him quite villainous and didn't try to go down the weird Will Smith Deadshot route. And it made me go and read the comics and read more obscure, like, DC comics, not just, like, your Justice League and Batman things. But yeah, it was a good fun time. I like the way they rectified the mistakes of the first film without. I mean, the brilliance of the Suicide Squad is how interchangeable the characters are. So I guess it was like the ideal franchise for you to say that, like, let's just swap out some of them, swap in some of them, same way they kind of swapped out a director and put in a director, you know? And obviously with James Gunn behind the helm, all his wacky zaniness kind of just translates brilliantly over to this, that I would probably say I would prefer this to Guardians, I would say. Hot take.
How did you feel though about all the POC deaths in it? Or the expendable deaths even, or deaths as comedy?
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, this was one of them films where, like, I'll be upfront with you, like, I was just enjoying the film. Maybe I switched that critical thinking part of my brain off. So, like, when people are talking about afterwards, I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of weird. But then it's kind of like the Resident Evil 5 situation where, like, I don't know, like, I didn't think about it before people brought it up. I thought, right, they're in Africa, but then, you know, there was 4 games before that where they weren't in Africa. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't really have... I'm unfortunately going to be that ignorant guy to that situation. Or saying I was outraged to it, I'll be honest. But I haven't seen Peacemaker, but I do want to watch it. I think James Gunn directed that as well, right? Got green for season 2 already.
Very things.
Yeah. I mean, John Cena. I feel like I wasn't that hot on him before he was Peacemaker, and I feel like he's one of those characters that like is the character now. Like you like the way people say Tony Stark is Iron Man, I feel like John Cena is.
To be fair, that's like the best I've ever seen him do anything. Like there's always like a sense of like in Fast and Furious where there's just like a weird something. Like yeah, I feel like this was the first role where I wasn't thinking, oh, that's John Cena. Like it just I was like, oh, that's a character.
Are you really telling me that he didn't play Dominic Toretto's brother perfectly, and you were just immersed in the idea that these two clearly not related men were brothers?
I think he pulled it off brilliantly, to be honest. Not really. But yeah, that's me. I'll say Suicide Squad. Boom bow.
I'm gonna go with Shang-Chi. And even in spite of Awkwafina, because like,
I wouldn't just, mind her I can't thing, to be honest with you. I don't.
Yeah, I'm just yeah, like some people just I can't vibe with. You know what I mean, mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's fair. Like, everything doesn't have to be like about me or my tastes. Cool. But yeah, like that film was super dope. Like super super enjoyed that film. Like from start to end, it was just like. Like you're saying with like Suicide Squad, I just kind of turned off my critical thinking and I just got swept away with the movie. And it was exactly what I needed it to be.
I hear that. I feel like it was a bit... It was fine. Shang-Chi was fine. It was good. But it was just below good. What's in between fine and good?
Average.
Nah, I feel like...
Above average?
But I feel like the thing is, it's hard to talk about films, and I was saying this to Ram the other day, like these post-pandemic films that kind of feel like a little bit devoid of a certain oomph, and even now you can see it in certain films that are still releasing now, like, you know, like where it's like, oh, were those two people in a room together? Oh, this looks a bit janky, they probably had to edit this at home with limited software, whatever, you know, have you. And I feel like that kind of, I don't want to say it's changed films nowadays, but I don't know. Am I the only one who kind of gets that when I watch almost every film that's been coming out, like since, let's say, 2020, 2021? Yes.
I mean, I see it when you point it out, but I don't really pay attention to it, to be honest. Unless it's like particularly terrible. But that's just me.
I've not seen very many like new movies. I think like last year, like I kind of went backwards in the stuff that I was viewing and like playing and reading. I was like watching a lot of classics and like reading a lot of like old school sci-fi and playing a lot of classic games as well. So like I missed like a lot of like stuff like Dune and like Batman I've still not seen, or like Spider-Man. Like I've not been able to see those. I'll get to them eventually, but like I kind of went the other way last year.
Spider-Man's Blu-ray now, so you know what to do. Buy the Blu-ray. Is what I was going to say. So, who are we voting for?
Can't I vote for myself? That's tough. I don't think I really enjoyed Shang-Chi, to be honest with you. I thought it was okay, but again, it was like that feeling of like, I kind of wanted a bit more from this. And I don't know, that last act kind of just, I don't know, yeah. But at the same time, I guess I'll go with Suicide Squad if I have to wait for someone else.
I can't vote for you. I'm sorry, Ram. I haven't seen the film.
Oh, default. I'll take default. I hate those.
Look, guys, I've been cheated, everyone. I've been cheated.
Blame my mystery illness. Like, this is...
If it makes it any better, Ram, I would have picked Spider-Man, because Spider-Man was like endgame for Spider-Man films somehow. Like, it was a film that you could say to someone, you literally need, you can watch Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. You can watch Amazing Spider-Man 1, 2, and watch No Way Home, Far Come, whatever the new ones are called, and it all pays off in this film. Or you could just watch this one as the end of a trilogy. Great film. But, you know, it doesn't matter, because Suicide Squad's in the, what do we put, on the shelf. It's going on the top shelf.
It doesn't belong there, and later I'm going to knock it off like a cat.
That's not very nice.
Like this. I'm going to make you watch me as I do.
Just the image of you like scaling a shelf, like.
I have an honourable mention though, and it's not really a nerdy pop culture film. It just popped up to me, and it did come out this year.
Then it doesn't count.
Okay, fine. Let's move on to television shows. I'm ready now. Should I start?
Unless you're gonna steal my show, but okay, go. Yeah. You can start.
All right, now it's time to steal Ram's show.
Can I start?
Okay, here we go. I guess everyone has. I mean, if everyone has the same show, then you guys start. I'll try and throw a spanner in. If yeah, go on.
I'm
go on.
Voting for Ram's show. That's my vote.
How do you know what my show is?
All right, Ram, you go on. So, now we're turning this into a competition. Go on, Ram. Go on, Ram.
My show is Arcane, because it was amazing and it was great and it was beautiful to look at, but the story was also great. And I feel like, you know, these days it's so easy to like let the graphics sometimes do. I feel like sometimes it's like Avatar. He knew that tech or whatever was going to be like groundbreaking, so he didn't really write a good story. And I feel like a lot of like filmmakers do that sometimes, where it's like or Euphoria, for example. It looks great. I mean, I haven't watched it, so I'm going off people who I respect's opinions. There's a tendency
that is so
tendency to like make things look good but not necessarily follow through with the storytelling. And so I really appreciated that Arcane was like beautifully made, but at the same time, like, the story was just like super engaging and the characters were really complicated, and it was quite easy to know what everybody wanted. I mean, I don't know about Jinx, I still don't know what she wants, but like everyone else, it was quite easy to see like what they want and like where they're going. And I also love a time skip, because I just like to see how characters look when they're younger and they're older. I don't know why, it's just very fascinating to me. And the music was cool, and I also loved listening to the opening all the time, because it made me feel like I was 15 again and I was listening to punk rock or whatever that genre is. So yeah.
She does like listening to it.
I never skip it. So I'll say Arcane.
That's fine.
That wasn't my show.
That's fine. Go on, Hassan.
Yeah, what was your show?
My show was Love, Death and Robots.
Yeah, see, I've been thinking more about the last half of the year, because honestly 2021 feels so far away, so I've forgotten everything that came out in the beginning.
I'm kind of with you on like it's all like a bit of a blur. Like I literally we're like when we were like talking about doing this episode, I was like, what the hell happened last year? Like Love, Death and I went back and I rewatched it, and it was better after having like given it some time, because like I remember when we did it for like the episode, we kind of like rushed through it, and like giving it some room to breathe and kind of like not comparing it to season one as much, like really let like the episodes like shine for themselves. Like I really, really enjoyed like anthologies and like the way they kind of put together this like showcase of like artistic talent and like short storytelling talent was it's so good.
What was
like in the Tall Grass
favorite episode?
I'm torn between In the Tall Grass and the children one. Mm-hmm. Those two episodes are phenomenal. Like just like the breadth of the world that they build in like such a short amount of time. A plus for me.
Yeah, the children was really amazing. I thought about that for a really long time.
Love them. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. To be fair, sometimes when you step back and you don't compare something, and you just look at something for what it is, you're like, oh, this is actually quite good. I agree with that. Okay, so let me just
try and top this one.
So if we go, all right, cool. So I'm gonna say Squid Game. No, I'm not gonna say Squid Game. I'm gonna say Hawkeye. And the reason I'm gonna say Hawkeye, right, is because
I think you lost.
I expected nothing. And I got something. I really, the show made me care more for Hawkeye as a character. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we got an introduction to Kate Bishop and I think Hayley Steinfeld.
Yeah,
I feel like she was really good in the role. Obviously, Florence Pugh was just stealing the show when she came on the
and
scene.
And guess what a year those two were born in?
Oh, go away.
95.
No.
But I just felt like the show had a nice tone and a good vibe to it. And I'm not like the biggest Christmas, you know, film or show vibe, but I feel like it really struck that kind of Christmas note. And also we got more kind of Netflix Marvel crossover with Kingpin, although I was a bit, the way he was kind of throwing Kate was around was a bit like the cartoonish of him. Obviously that is kind of how Kingpin is, but I don't know, I guess because we're used to Vincent D'Onofrio being like, you know, slamming car heads into car doors, and then now he's a lot more like, you know, he's just got a floral shirt on and he's throwing people into walls and stuff. It was a bit
it's kind of wrestly, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. WWE vibes to it.
But, like, yeah, I just came away from that show kind of, you know, glad I watched it almost. And I was, not almost, yeah, I was glad I watched it. And I was like, yeah, that was good. And, you know, okay. I could back him in a pub fight now, maybe. I would have left him before, but now I might think about it. Do you know what I mean?
that is the metric of how I'm going to judge any superhero going forward.
Well, you gotta do it.
Like, would you back it though? Like Batman? No. Absolutely not.
I'd back our pet. But that's just me. Okay. Well, I mean, all right, so let's vote.
I mean, I'm going to vote for Love, Death, and Robot.
Oh my god, this is sabotage. That's fine.
I'm gonna vote for Arcane. I'm not the biggest fan of Renner. Like Hayley Steinfeld and like
Echo, Florence, you know,
like Florence Pugh was phenomenal, but she's always like amazing in like everything she does. But like as a whole kind of thing, Arcane just worked better for me.
You mean, you know, we had the whole, you know, the whole Hawkeye with his hearing aid and, you know, him and Echo. And I'm not going to lie, I was voting for Arcane. I was going to pick Arcane.
That's fair.
Even though I only finished it recently, that, again, it is a great show. A franchise I literally barely know anything about. Didn't even know there was a story attached to that, to those games or game. I don't even know if it's one game or many. But the show was really good. And the way it kind of, I can't remember what episode it is where, you know, things get real or whatever. The tone was already kind of like, it wasn't kiddie, but it turned real quick and I really enjoyed it.
Episode 4, I think it was. And it's a hard ass turn.
Tell me your... Sorry.
As someone who doesn't know that any of the characters from the games or anything, I'm you know, there's always that thing of like, some people are like, okay, I know. Let's say Jinx is going to be Jinx or whatever. like I knew nothing, so I was like, oh, okay, oh yeah.
the funniest one was like a mate of mine like really loves like League of Legends, and he was like, I watched the show and I was like, oh, this is really good. And he was like, are you gonna play League of Legends with me? I was like,
no.
I'm sorry, no.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, it's like
okay, fine, we'll put Arcane. I'm happy to put Arcane on the top shelf. It can go up there. It was a top tier game. Lovely. We have two categories left. We can put comics and let's go games.
I don't really have any games. I just have games that I played last year, but they're not games that came out last year.
I mean, sure. Why not? I feel like I kind of play like a lot of indie games, so like throwing up like my favorite indie game might not go down a treat in the voting.
Am I gonna win by default?
I mean, I'll just vote for whatever Hassan throws in the ring.
Oh my gosh.
This is why we're friends. Thank you very much. I'll vote for you too. The collusion has started. The validity of these awards are now out the window.
If you pitch it well enough, I'll be happy to vote whoever way next. I'm a genuine person, you know. I have integrity.
Okay, let me take the floor then.
You would have let a certain film win, but you know.
I was just following the rules of the game. Hassan, what is your game?
My game for last year is Kena: Bridge of Spirits. It's by a developer called Ember Lamps, and it's two brothers. Firstly, black developers, got to support them. Secondly, it is maybe one of the most beautiful games I've seen in a long time. It's like playing a Pixar movie. It is stunning, like unbelievably stunning. But it's also like the gameplay is tight and the movement is tight. And although like nothing they do is like unique or surprising or kind of like reinventing anything, everything they do is incredibly competent. And the storytelling and the character building is beautiful. Like, it's very, very good. And for the first game developed by this studio, It's unreal. Like, there's like AAA developers who strive for this and don't hit this. It's nuts. I cannot recommend this game enough.
To be fair, this is on my list, so if I vote for this, it's a clear, you know, just disclaimer. did I go last time? No, I went first. Okay, Levi, you go.
I can go. Well, ah, yes, Kena: Bridge of Spirits. That is actually on my list. Well, I'm going to go out and throw Halo Infinite. No, I'm joking.
You would have had my vote.
Really? Ah, huh. Well, I'm going to go with... Oh. I was going to pick something else, but I'm going to go Metro Dread.
Dude.
because personally, before playing this game, I actually tried... what was it? Is it Castle Symphony of the Night or whatever that one's called?
Oh, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, yeah.
No, sorry, I lie. I made that up. I played Bloodstained.
Yes, Ritual of the Night. It's so Ritual good.
I'm mixing up the names, yeah. And the game was cool, yeah, but it's not janky, but it's kind of janky. Like, I can't explain it. There's like a polish that it didn't stick, it didn't gel with me. And I do like Metroidvania type games. So from the first trailer, I was kind of always looking forward to this game. You know, I'm a bit of a Nintendo fan, but this game is just so, it was so clean. It's such a fun, beautiful, but like gross game, if you get what I mean, in terms of the aesthetic. But it was just like, I really enjoyed playing it. It was a game that when I completed it, I kind of wanted to play it again and go and find all the secrets. It's one of those games that you just enjoy being in the atmosphere of and not necessarily just rushing to complete it. But yeah, it was just a top tier game for me personally. Like, it had me on my Switch for a hot minute. It was the beginning of my long time just playing my Switch. It's a great game.
The Dread was absolutely not a joke. It was scary.
And I love the rope, the whole robot mechanics of like when you're in their zones and you literally have to run until you get the one item, the one thing to kill them. And apart from that, it's just changing the game now. It's just like a stealth thing. It's kind of like kind of Alien Isolation vibes, if you get what I mean. Which is a game I do need to go back and play because that is a phenomenal game.
I'll never play that again. I played like 20 minutes of it.
Amazing.
I am a coward on main. Like, we know this.
It is a game that you like. It's fun to play with friends. Like, get one of your friends to control it and watch them play. But yeah, Metro Dread is I.
My game is a game that I have talked about before, I think. So I finished Spiritfarer, but they did like loads of updates last year. And I just really, the thing about like those characters, because they're obviously like dead people, is that like you kind of discover bits of their lives, but it's very like dialogue driven. So you're kind of like left guessing. But there's also like this intrigue about the main character, Stella, who you play as. And so a lot of these updates introduced like people from her life, but also introduced more backstory about her, which I think was like really interesting. And I just love playing that game. It's a cozy game. It's fun. And the world is very pretty. And it was nice to like expand that world a little bit more. And I really love when like small kind of indie games do those little tiny updates that kind of just give fans a bit more of the story that they've been wanting. But in a way that doesn't feel like it's not a money grab, because obviously it's a free update and stuff. But it's also just like it doesn't ruin the vibe of the original game that you played, because even though we found out more about Stella, it wasn't anything that like took away from that mystery that I really enjoyed about playing it in the first place, that made me want to go into like a rabbit hole. So yeah, and the music is so beautiful when I'm having like, when I can't sleep, that's what I play, because it's great.
Would you say the update is Stella?
I would say the update is Stella. Didn't
Okay, so what are we voting for?
I'm voting for Hassan because I know that you enjoyed Metroidvania, but I would never play it, and it's hard.
It's not that hard. It's not like Elden Ring. Well, it's not that.
I wouldn't know. I didn't even get the name right, so.
That's fine. I was going to also vote Hassan, because that game is actually on my list, and it does sound like a good, fun time.
And Ram, you're going to cry if you play that game. I'm telling you right now. I'll graciously take my award, and I'll do a 3-hour acceptance speech. Yeah. Are you guys ready? Buckle in.
This was edited, but you can find it on if you want to listen. You can listen to Hazan's 3-hour.
It's on my personal smug YouTube.
Please check it out.
Okay, let's move on to the next category. Now, I don't really have anything in this category. We'll go anime. Well, there is one thing, but I feel like it's definitely going to be one of you guys' pick.
I think me and Ram are going to pick the same thing.
Yeah, it's probably what I was thinking of. I haven't really, outside of like Attack on Titan and trying to catch up on One Piece, you know.
Also, I think one of our last episodes, we kind of discussed all of that, like before the anime that we're about to talk about. I feel like we discussed stuff like To Your Eternity and stuff, so I don't really want to mention it again, but
yeah, in the absence of those things, obviously.
I always want to talk about Otaxi though, but like there is a definitive answer for this year.
So, yeah, I think I'll let you guys go off on it really.
I haven't caught up because I've gotten like suddenly like I don't want to finish this because it's really good, and then why am I gonna watch after this? Because Attack on Titan is also nearly finished. But yeah, the anime we're talking about is The Ranking of Kings, and I just think it's great in so many ways. I think, not to stereotype or make assumptions, but I think sometimes, like, even in the West, like, we get it wrong when it comes to, like, disabilities and, like, representation of disabilities. And I guess, like, my more ignorant, like, Western massive assumption is also that other countries also have a tendency to do the same thing. So at first, when I started watching it, I was kind of worried that that's what would happen. And it didn't. And I feel like it was like, I don't know. I feel like it was great representation. It was really like fulfilling storytelling. That was really enjoyable, but also was like very unpredictable. And I loved how they turned so many, they played with our assumptions a lot, actually. Like, I think even remembering like the stepmom and thinking like, oh, she's going to be that stepmom. And then it, them being like, no, she's not, like, and turning that around. So like loads of moments like that, or even like his stepbrother. And I really appreciate animes or like manga or any story really that like kind of takes you, takes your hand and is like, you recognize this, you know this. And then you're like, no, you don't. I just think that's like really exciting for the audience. And it also just makes us feel like a kind of not treating us like babies, recognizing that audiences are smart and that we also want new stories and that we want to see like these old tropes, you know, revamped in new and interesting ways. And it reminded me a lot of like the things I like about the Jujutsu Kaisen characters, like for example Todo being like this super muscle man but actually being really smart but also being like a fanboy, and all those things are not things that you would usually put together, but they work so well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so enjoyable about the ranking of kings. And yeah, I've just never really seen anything like it. And even just the art style as well is very it's just, I don't know, it's the best.
I've rarely seen a show that's at the same time a warm hug and incredibly distressingly sad. Like they flip between telling like these heartwarming and cathartic moments with like some of the most like bleak and like depressing world building, like with the nature of like the characters and their backstories and why they are how they are. It's phenomenal. Like it's so well done. And, like the inter-character development and like the relationships between the characters is, it's like it's very human. Like a lot of like the, they set up a lot of like the bad characters as falling down on that, like the road to hell being like paved with good intentions. Like a lot of the bad characters aren't bad, they've just been trying to do their best and failing. And like even like the queen, who's like you start this assumption of her being like, ooh, she's just mean to our poor good boy Boji. Yeah. But it's not, it's she's like she's trying to protect him in her weird, controlling and insane way. And it's so good. Like I can't recommend that show enough. Like
also it's got the seal of approval because I cried, so you know it's good.
That's one tear up.
I think I've only watched like maybe one or two episodes, but I do remember when I was watching it thinking like, yeah, this is something special. Like it's not your run of the mill kind of anime. It's something that's both mature and wholesome, but like deep at the same time, you know. This is us vibes, yeah. I guess. So yeah, I definitely agree with what you guys are saying. I do want to continue watching it, to be fair. So I can put it on the top shelf.
Unanimous.
This is a dictatorship. There are no other parties. yeah, so we'll put that up there. I think that's it. Is there anything? I was going to mention comics, but I can't really.
Yeah, I don't really have any comic-y stuff. The only thing, I mentioned this last week, I think, maybe. But Saga came back, everybody. But it came back very early this year, so I guess I can't talk about it.
Yeah. Oh no, I was just going to say that I think I've mentioned it before as well, but the Al Ewing Immortal Hulk run finished last year, so obviously it's a complete story. I don't know if there's trades out yet, but if anyone wants to read a Hulk story, that's a very good one. It's a very good one to read. Al Ewing's amazing author.
Strangely enough, I've actually got comic recommendations.
What?
So last year I got into, yeah, I know, me, right? I got into like a couple of graphic novels. One called Die. which is a story about a group of kids who get transported into their D&D world. But in like the real world, they've been missing for like 10 years. So when they come back, like they've grown older and like they're like in their world, they became the characters. And like one of the characters has a metal arm. So when she came back, she's lost her arm. And like the story picks up when they're like much older. And they get like a cryptic message from one of the friends who stayed in the game world. It's like Jumanji, but it's super depressing and incredibly like compelling.
Narnia like, vibes as well.
It's less Bible, less but Bible, like it's but really good. It's really good. Kind of. I highly recommend I. I think I've talked about it a few times. There's Something Killing the Children. It's a horror fantasy graphic novel. Highly recommend it if you like your kind of spooky kind of mythological creatures kind of thing. It's so good. Like the basic premise is the monsters are real and monster hunters are real, but they're predominantly children because adults lose the ability to see things lurking in the dark. And this one town, monsters take, they find like a nest and they start eating the children, and that's where the story starts. And it is so good. Like, it's so good.
Is there, I feel like I heard that they're making a TV show based on that. I don't know, though. Like, I could be, you know, I'm not right.
I'd fuck with that, yeah. Hell yes.
There is. Who is that? Is that James Tynion? Is that his, one of his, who writes that one?
I have it like behind me. I can grab it. Hold on, let me just Google it.
I don't know. Just curious. That is on my list as well. I get in this unfortunate Marvel and DC cycle where they release every week, and by the time I finish reading the books that I read in the week, it's the next week. It's very sad. So I get on with Berserker. Berserker's really good. It's still good. I still enjoy it. But like, I just you know, when you keep up with these things, like the new release every week, is like you miss a week and you could just totally forget that issue came out. But I'm definitely gonna look at some of these. I'm definitely gonna read stuff as Killing the Children. In fact, I might order an issue right now.
You still need to read the rest of Saga.
I still need to read that Invincible volume that's on my shelf. And JoJo. Let's not talk about my backlog that is literally a physical backlog on my shelf. I think that's it. Is there anything else anyone wants to just randomly shout out over the that we have missed that you just want to say sucks? Was great.
I want to say that The Witcher season 2 was better than I expected, and I really enjoyed it.
It was.
It's really good. I also want to shout out Spy X Family. Like, if you haven't read Spy X Family, read Spy. You in particular, Ram.
I've already read it.
It's so good.
I binged it. I read it before you, and I told you to read it.
Yes, you did. You're right. There's a show coming out of it this year, like an anime coming out of it this year, and I'm hella excited. Like, it's gonna be so good.
Yeah, my brother's been waiting for that. I was like, just read it, and he's like, no. And I was like, okay, just consume it somehow.
I know this is this year, Ram, but just because it's gone, so the chances are we won't talk about it. I do want to just give honorable shout out to Pokemon Legends Arceus, because as patchy as that game was, it was a very nice breath of fresh air. Like that, literally going from that to like Elden Ring is just like you know, when you're like, okay, cool, good games. I mean, apart from the really dark transition, mm-hmm. I mean, two games that are just doing things in a very fresh way and not and you know, breaking a formula and doing their own thing, and especially from Pokemon side, that the way they've been like literally just churning out these games like generation after generation that are literally the same game but marginally better. It was a surprise that this game that seemed like a throwaway slash just any sort of spin-off that it just turned out to be as fun as it was in Joybird's is.
So yeah, I lost like 3 weeks of that game. Like, I always try and like do the weekly reviews and stuff, but like when Pokemon came out, I was like, I can't. I need to play Pokemon. Like,
it get like that. Prepare yourself, Elden Ring, my friend.
Don't do it. I don't even have a boyfriend anymore, to be honest.
Yeah. I'll get help. One last thing I'm going to ask, actually, is what is one thing you are looking forward to in 20... No, let's not even say 2022. Let's just say any announcement that we probably won't cover now because it's happened. I'll unless you got something right now.
Well, I mean, I already mentioned Saga, but I'm just really looking forward to that story just playing out. Like, I've been getting the like the single issues and stuff, and I think that knowing that they've got like a set plan and they know how many chapters that it's going to be is like really exciting. I don't know why, like, just knowing that the story is going to be told in a finite number of chapters and like where the story's already taken us has been so amazing. So I don't know, I'm just really excited to see the like how it unfolds throughout the rest of the year, and also the fact that it's going to be like a consistent thing that I can look forward to every month. That makes me happy.
It's nice to have like the bookends. I said Spice Family. I also want to say Stalker 2 that's coming out in April. I was a fan of the OG PC, like, buggy mess that first one was. It was, like, one of the first, like, proper CRPG kind of games that, like, I lost, like, myself to. It's... when they announced it, I was, like, bouncing off the goddamn walls. I'm very excited.
The love and the passion.
As we can see. God, am I going to go mainstream? Yes, I am. Two things, actually, because I just found something out today. Apparently they're making a new Witcher game.
Yes.
So I'm prepared. I mean, I didn't even play Cyberpunk, but I'm prepared to pretend that that never happened and fully get behind Witcher game. I think it's not about Geralt, so it's going to be someone else. Could be Ciri, who knows? But you know, I'm all in for that one. And just going off of what I mentioned, my honourable mention before, the new Pokemon games that they just randomly announced out of nowhere and said they're coming out this year. If they do come out this year is a different question. But I'm always a sucker for new Pokemon. I'm that guy that just waits to be like, I wonder what new designs are going to come with now. I just enjoy evolving Pokemon. I'm that guy. And battling competitively, of course. But yeah, I like the way it just dropped. And so soon after Arceus, I've heard that they're going to kind of hybridize the gameplay, and it's not going to be like how Sword and Shield were, but we'll see. And the trailer looked a bit janky, but new ones, I'm happy. That's me.
I'm with you. Like, I try and be critical and honest about like how anti-consumer Pokemon can be, but like at the same time I am a huge sucker for it. Like, I love the Pokemon experience, and like Arceus, I love it, but like it feels like a testing bed for new systems, and I hope they learn from like the stumbling blocks that Arceus had.
Exactly. If they learn for it and yeah, build on that, then that is going to be the Pokemon game we want, really. It's literally like what is in the core series is what was missing from Arceus, but you know, put it together and lovely stuff. But yes, I believe that is an episode.
Sorry. I thought I was Curtis Connor for a second.
Curtis Connor, who do you think? Before we go, I'm gonna ask you guys what you've been up to. I'm not even gonna bother answering, so I'll just let you guys take the floor.
I've been playing Spider-Man, the first one, because I didn't play it. I played Miles Morales, so I'm having a lot of fun doing that. I've nearly finished my collection of Vagabond, so I'm just waiting for volume 7 so that I can I've got two volumes before I complete it, so I've just been reading them as they come in, and that's been really cool. And I've been reading a lot of webtoons. Some are not that great to mention, but they fulfill the fangirl in me. And the other two are like, Let's Play is just still really like amazing. I love it so much. And Tuesdays are my favorite day because of it.
That's very fair. I've been playing this game called Tunic. If you know me at all, you know I'm like a huge like OG Zelda fan. And this game it's already in my like top games of the year. It's phenomenal. It feels like a Zelda game cosplaying as Dark Souls, because there's like if you love Dark Souls like combat, like this has like Dark Souls combat and like boss battles. It's hella tight, and the music. I'm going to do a review on it. Like you'll get all my thoughts. All right. It's very good.
Sounds good. We'll just skip over myself. You know. but yeah, Elden Ring. But yeah, that's it. Ram, would you like to tell the lovely listeners where to find us?
It's been a long time, guys. So if I say anything wrong, but you can find us on Instagram at The Nerd Alternative. You can find us on Twitter at The Nerd Alternative. Without the E. And you can find all of our podcast episodes on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts, most likely just type us in. But yeah. Make sure you leave us a review and a like, and engage with us on Twitter, especially. Instagram will be making a comeback shortly, but you can DM us.
I promise I will make puns, and there is nothing you can do to stop me.
I love a good pun, to be fair. But yeah, that's it. That's it, guys. Until next time.
Bye.
Get out of here. Skedaddle.